Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and we're on Transformation Talk Radio today. So glad you're here with us, and I hope you're all looking forward to a great weekend. I've been reading a friend's manuscript. She wants me to write a testimonial, and right now I'm reading the chapter where she talks about longing. And she's writing a book. It's about the nine powers of women, and she claims longing is a very important one. And she says, "What is the ultimate point of longing? It brings us closer and closer to what's real, and brings what's real closer and closer to us. When we long for love, we search for it. When we long for meaning, we engage with life to find meaning. When we grow tired of games and superficialities, we look and pray and work towards what is more enduring." Well, my guest today is going to share her journey of longing that came from a tour that she took to Egypt. So, Holly Evelyn is the co-founder of Spirit Quest Tours. She's a spiritual tour leader and author, and she just released her spiritual travel memoir, Red Goddess Rising, which recounts the story of the unexpected experiences in Egypt that awakened her sleeping soul and the trip she's been co-leading up the Nile ever since. Holly will talk about her experiences in Egypt, what's different since the revolution, and tell some of her fascinating travel stories. And I love travel stories. I'm a traveler myself. I'm excited to say I just booked a trip to Bali in January. I was there in 1985, and I'm sure it's changed a lot. So I'm, anyway, getting on to talking to Holly. Her website is redgoddessrising.com. So welcome, Holly, to Voices of Women.
Thank you, Chris. I'm happy to be here.
Well, tell us, first I'd like to know, where people, what your journey was. You know, what's your story? And how it was you went to Egypt in the first place. Where were you in your life then, and what drew you to go to Egypt?
I was first and foremost asleep. I was, in my early 30s, and I was working my behind off. I worked about 100 hours every week. And I was running a multimedia studio up in Seattle. And I was fine. I mean, I was happy. I was in a long-term relationship. I had a great business. But I also had these very panicky fears of death all the time. And I didn't talk about it because it was really scary to me. But I was really always just terrified of death. And when we went to Egypt the first time, it was just because my partner, who is kind of a lifelong spiritual seeker, was just starting to study some Rosicrucian studies. And he was like, they're doing a Rosicrucian tour to Egypt. Come along. And I was like, it's got to be better than this. Yes, let's do it. So we went to Egypt, and I didn't even really want to go. I just really like the idea of 2 weeks sailing the Nile on vacation. Yes, that sounds better than working 100 hours a week. And so I went, and in the middle of the trip, I just had this, the top of my head came open type of spiritual awakening, and it really just changed everything for me.
Yeah, having those kinds of experiences. But was there a moment,
was a moment, a specific moment, the most important second of my life, or I don't know, maybe it was 6 years, it's hard to tell. There had been some signs, there had been some stuff that had been happening in Egypt that, was like, Toto, you're not in Kansas, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore kinds of moments. And I think that happens to, you know, I now lead trips to Egypt, so I'll be going to Egypt in this December. It'll be my 17th trip, if that tells you anything. So, I mean, I've been back quite a number of times. And so I can say now that for most of the people who go, if they're, you know, asleep or awake or whatever, it doesn't really matter. They're going to go and be really amazed, because the first time you go to Egypt, it's just so very different. And I don't know. I mean, I used to say, oh, well, there's less technology here, so it's like we can be kind of closer to the energy of the earth. But I don't even know if that's true anymore. It's just something really primal about Egypt. And so I really had these hints that things were shifting and changing, but I didn't quite know how much. And then I just had an experience with somebody. I was, you know, she was doing a guided meditation with me at a dinner table. And she just asked me a series of questions. And the last question she asked me was that she was telling me something, and she said, what am I telling you? And in the middle of this guided meditation, I heard, you will never die. But I heard it like on every level of my being. I heard it on in my cells, and it was just like the light switch coming on or something. And I've never been the same ever since.
When you had that fear of death, I mean, you were talking about that, and I had that experience too when I went to India, because before we went, we were in Athens, and for a whole week, I was reading newspaper reports of, you know, train crashes or bus crashes or, you know, 60 people dead. And so when I went there, I just thought, for sure, I'm not going to survive. And I had that moment of someone telling me, and also was worried because my parents, we had left home and my parents were older, and I thought I'd come back, you know, they would have passed away while I was gone. And I got that instant message too, which you, when you know it, you just know, like, no worries. My parents are going to live, and I'm going to survive India.
Yeah, it's really powerful. I mean, for me, and I talk about this a lot in the book, like, when I was 10 years old, I went to my dad, and I'm like, you know, Daddy, where do you go when you die? And my dad, who is a total atheist, says to my, you know, my little 10-year-old self, well, you go in the ground, and the worms eat you. So that kind of messed me up. And so that's what eventually led to my having these panic attacks. And I guess the big awareness that I had wasn't just that moment, but it was everything that followed since then. Because, for example, the panic attacks stopped, went away, and never came back again. And while there was nothing I could do to stop them before, there was nothing I could do to induce one after. Because I'm very logical. So I wanted to know, like, well, can I make this happen again? And the answer was no. You're never going to feel that way again, because it was like I'd lived in one room of a house my entire life, and everything I needed was always in that room, except I could see out the window, and it was like, what's out there? What's out there? And one day I discovered the door and left the room, and it was like, oh, there's a whole house here. And after that, you can never just go back and live in that one room. You're bigger than that, and that's what happened to me.
Yeah, it's like the coat doesn't fit anymore, you know. You try to keep it on, it just doesn't fit.
Yes, exactly.
Well, so you had this first trip, and then how did that turn into, for you, you have, you know, like a mission-led, a purposeful life for yourself? I mean, you had this personal, spiritual transformation, but it also led into something more.
Well, it's actually my partner Greg's fault. He also had a big spiritual awakening while he was in Egypt, and his was completely different from mine. In his case, he saw this sacred geometry called the Flower of Life, which you can Google if you're interested in it. It's quite amazing. But he saw it as God, and he had this incredible vision in the temple of Seti at Abydos. And it was just as transformational for him as my experience was for me. And so he came home and got depressed for 7 years, whereas I came home going, you know, wow, the world is so much bigger and better and more amazing than I ever thought. But what happened when he came out of it was that he felt like he had a mission to take people back. And so he started Spirit Quest Tours. And at the time I was doing real estate. But eventually, as the real estate market collapsed and I moved more and more into helping him, Spirit Quest Tours kind of took over everything. And now, you know, it's our full-time business, and the company is growing, and we take people on exotic, life-changing tours around the globe. In fact, it's funny that you mentioned Bali. I lead an Eat, Pray, Love tour to Bali at least twice a year. Our next one's coming up in September.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's another great spiritual place to go to, too. I mean, you know, there's something, there's travel, and then there's the spiritual kind of travel. Because there's the sightseer, let's say, let's call it that. There's the sightseer who just goes and looks at sights, and then there's the travelers who kind of go with a purpose in mind of finding a deeper sense of what's this culture about, or what is here for me to learn spiritually.
Yeah, one of our slogans for Spirit Quest Tours is "Come be an ambassador of peace." And there's some wonderful Mark Twain quotes about travel, and one of them I'm going to paraphrase is that travel is fatal to bigotry and small-mindedness. That you can't you can't stay small if you stop vegetating in one corner of the globe. So that just by the very act of travel, we're waking ourselves up, just by the very act of getting out and experiencing those other cultures. And we have some great stories of people, especially the spouses of the spiritual seekers who come on our trips, who have had like these great awakenings themselves around that area. For example, there was a guy who was just the husband of somebody who went with us on the trip. And when he came back, she said he was telling all the neighbors, "Don't talk about Muslim people that way. You don't know them. They're wonderful." And she said he was like, you know, he was that guy before he left who would have made fun of Muslim people for just being, because he didn't understand. And now here he is telling all of his friends, don't talk like that because you don't know them. And that's just a little example, but we've seen it happen dozens of times.
Oh yeah, that's so true. And it is, you can't be small anymore. You know, there's a whole globe out there. Well, you're listening to Voices of Woman. I'm Chris Danis, and we're going to come back and talk more with Hallie after this moment.
We all want deeper, more intimate relationships. But how do we create successful relationships and maintain strong connections? Peter Kane has some real answers. Author of The Monogamy Challenge, Creating and Keeping Intimacy, Peter is one of the original breathworkers and relationship trainers with over 30 years' experience. Breathe, relax, or create intimacy and keep it thriving. Visit peterkane.org or contact Peter Kane at 425-802-2050.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to aspiremag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Shosai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Dane here from Access Consciousness. Are you a seeker, a dreamer, one of those people who's always known that there should be greater possibilities available but haven't yet been able to create it as your life? I'd like to help. Go to creatinggreaterpossibilities.com, where there's a free video and audio series created especially for you. Once again, creatinggreaterpossibilities.com. It's free, and it's designed to give you the actual tools that you need to create the life you've always been looking for. creatinggreaterpossibilities.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister kind, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis. I've been talking today to Hallie Evelyn. And we're talking about her trips to Egypt and her spiritual transformation that she had there. She's been going 17 years. So, Hallie, you know, we're talking about this kind of spiritual pilgrimage. What is it? What is it about Egypt in particular that calls? I mean, I know it calls a lot of people.
Yeah, it sure does. I'm quoting myself from the book, but the phrase that I found that I think describes it is, I said that it's as if the stones are singing to you at the temples. I mean, there's something about the energy there that is just really deep and ancient, and everybody can feel it. I mean, I like to say that I was probably the most asleep person when I visited there, because I had no expectations. I was not really a spiritual seeker at that point. And I was, I was just like, I'm going on a vacation and I'm going to see some sights. That was my expectation and that was my intention and that was it. You know, maybe a little extra sleep. That was about it. And you really do just feel a difference. It's like there's this current under everything. And it just changes you, and it certainly changed me. So, like, when we take our groups, I mean, we do very special things. We take you to stand down between the paws of the Sphinx, which is normally off-limits to tourists. They can normally only get about 100 feet away. We take you into the King's Chamber, and you can go into the King's Chamber. You can buy a ticket, go up to the Giza Plateau, buy a ticket, and go in. They let 150 people a day in. But you're in and out with everybody else. When we go, we take our groups and we do private meditation for like a dawn visit for maybe 2 or 3 hours inside of the King's Chamber. And we can perform ceremonies there. And we actually do ceremonies at all the temples that are designed to awaken you. And they're based on the ancient mystery schools. So there's a lot of stuff that you can do to kind of be in synergy with the energy. But it's going to happen for you anyway, just by going. The thing about being at the temples privately, and we do most of our temple visits privately, is there's just a very big difference between being there, like being at Karnak Temple, for example, with 10,000 other people, or being there privately and being there in reverence and going in ceremonially. It really does make a big difference, and it really does just energetically shift you.
Well, yeah, and that's a very special experience. I mean, and that explains, you know, a lot of these people do these tours and they're very expensive, but that's what you're paying for, that ability to have this sort of private audience with the Sphinx or the one of the pyramids, you know, and like I said, the King's Chamber or wherever. You don't get that. When we went in 83, I think we were able to do some of that stuff. I don't think it was quite as crowded then. I'm sure it's changed a lot.
It has, and you know, of course, what's happened with the revolution is that it's gotten a lot less crowded, but that's starting to change as well. And a lot of people from Europe or from Asia who were less concerned in the first place about what was going on with the revolution are still kind of going in droves. So even though Egypt is less crowded now, there's still a lot of people going. And you're right. I mean, it has changed completely, you know, from the 70s and the 80s and before then. I know somebody who went 40 years ago, and she was like, you just go out into the desert, and there's the temple, and And now it's like, you know, the Disneyfication of everything has happened. Exit through the gift shop has occurred everywhere, pretty much. That's really one of the main reasons we go privately. And yes, you're right. The trips end up being pretty expensive. I mean, our December trip, where we'll be there for 12-12-12 and 12-21, which are two really, you know, fun days of planetary shift, the cost of that trip is $5,000 for 2 weeks, excluding airfare. And that's a lot of money for people. I mean, we bill it as the trip of a lifetime, and for some people, they might save half a lifetime to get there. But it's totally worth it because, yes, you're going to do all of these things privately, and we're going to give you a really unique and non-touristy experience. And that does make a big difference when you're going for spiritual awakening. You're going for different reasons. Even though you get to see the sites, you get to see them in a way that the tourists don't.
Yeah, and it makes a big difference because sometimes when you go by yourself and as a tourist, you don't always know some of the opportunities that are out there. And what to see, or and it can be frustrating because you're with so many people, and it's like you have that longing and you keep searching for something and it's not happening, and so it's just the issue of what travel is like nowadays and in those kinds of special places. So you talk about the spirituality of Egypt as being in this. I think you mentioned in the stones. That there's that amazing energy that you would just, I think, just sitting in the presence of those stones, there's this amazing energy. And how does that compare with someone's everyday life here?
That's a good question. I think that we're bombarded as citizens of the first world with a lot of stuff. There's our lives. The minutiae of our lives on a daily basis. There's the responsibilities, our families and our work and everything tugging at us all the time. And then there's also the electronic current of everything that I have an iPhone, an iPad, a laptop, a television, I'm just one person, and I'm sure I have a car, and most of us have most of those things. And so there's all this like electrical energy around us every minute of every day. And when you go to Egypt, it's like you're more likely to be that far removed from that stuff. You know, you'll go 2 weeks without driving. You'll go 2 weeks and maybe you'll be on the phone for a half an hour during that entire period of time because you just don't need to call people all the time. And if you're smart, you'll leave your laptop at home because you're there to have a different kind of an experience. So you'll leave your work at home. And just that alone, I mean, that's one of the things that can really help shift you, whether it's Egypt or somewhere else that's another trip. I like to say that, you know, part of it is just getting away from that experience of your everyday life and getting out, and makes you more aware of the energies that are out there. It makes you more aware of everything. And a lot of people come on our trips and they start remembering their dreams. They start remembering their hopes. They start remembering, oh, yeah, I was going to be whatever that is. And that's, I think, really important to give ourselves that gift. To say, you know, just because we're adults or just because we have lives and responsibilities, we still get to experience our own hopes and dreams, because that can help us to expand. And you know, to me, of course, that's what it's all about, is the opportunity to expand.
Well, and you talk about these powerful experiences. Do you have some examples of, particularly women, because that's our focus, Voices of Women, who've transformed on your tours?
Oh, yes. Here's one of my very favorite stories. Now, this didn't happen in Egypt. This happened in Bali. There was a woman. She had been divorced for like 10 years. And, you know, her husband had had an affair, and she had left him. But really, she had carried this guilt. Like, somehow it was her fault for 10 years. And, you know, we know what that's like. We all have been through something like that. And on this trip, she had this just really powerful healing, which was fairly spontaneous. where just all of a sudden she realized it wasn't her fault. And she had been she'd been using her married name, and she had been using a diminutive, like let's say her name was Susan, and she was calling herself Susie. So her name is like, you know, Susie White Jones, because Jones is her married name, and so people know of her as Susie Jones. And on the trip, she was like, I'm dropping my my married name, and I'm just going back to White. And by the way, I've never liked being called Susie, and my name is Susan. And she just stood up and said this at a dinner, and everybody just burst into spontaneous applause, not just because, you know, she left as Susie Jones and is now coming back as Susan White, but also because just this shift for her was so powerful, and you could just see it and feel it. And energetically, she came home from the trip, and everybody was like, did you have work done? Because you look 10 years younger. And no, it wasn't. It was the guilt that had fallen away from her, and the choice that she made to live her life going forward that was so powerful. And that's one of my favorite stories, because it was a little thing, but it was just such a shift. Do you have time for another one before your next break?
No, probably not.
Okay.
unless it's just a minute.
Well, I was just going to say I've had people heal from the death of a spouse, from the death of a son. It's really just, and done this forgiveness work as well, for themselves. So they've healed from very big pain that they've carried around for a long time themselves. And we've seen this happen over and over again.
Well, you get out of your normal environment, and you're going to, you know, someplace. Just that shift itself. It's like, it's, you know, physically moving yourself allows for these kinds of transformations to come into you. And I've seen it too, where people come to Woman of Wisdom, which is just coming to a conference within our city. But it's like an urban camp. You know, people come and they're in this special environment, and they make the same kind of shifts where they make a name change or a decision to do something like that. And it's so powerful to witness. So I'm sure you've witnessed amazing stories from people of things that have just, I mean, it's not that you've witnessed them telling you, you've witnessed them being in it. And that's probably such a gift for yourself too, to
Completely. Yeah.
Well, I'm Chris Stainis. We're listening to Voices of Women. We're going to come back and hear more stories and wonderful experiences from Holly Evelyn. We'll be right back.
Each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to the Elizabeth Anglin Show, your psychic connection to your soul's path. Elizabeth takes you to the Universal Etheric Space Library, where soul records and life lesson plans are stored. This live call-in show will help you decide what your life plan is through the help of your guides and guardian angels. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 1-888-640-4893 to schedule your reading with psychic medium, animal communicator, Elizabeth Anglin.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world to find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. Visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your free 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams, or to schedule your soul breakthrough session with Saskia. Call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861.
Gratitude. gratitude, asks the heart, tell me, who are you? I would like to meet you and get to know you better. Gratitude responds, I am that which strikes at your door and waits until you open it with grace. I am that which only wants to partner with you at any moment. I am that which wishes your expansion more than anything. Gratitude is on a mission to create a partnership between the hearts of all human beings. Wouldn't it be wonderful to cultivate this state of being every single day? Stimulate the energy of the essence of gratitude in your life while bathing in this wonderful and powerful vibration with our diamond combo and transform your life in health, creativity, wealth, and enriched relationships. Visit our Gratitude Living Boutique at explorationgratitude.com.
Tune in to Dialogue Radio with Dr. Jeff on TransformationTalkRadio.com as the stories of the universe are revealed in this engaging and creative hit show. Mondays at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern, Dr. Jeff fills the airwaves with Dialogue Radio, an epic conversation on self, society, and sustainability. Provocative, educational, transformative, and mythic, Dialogue Radio is the place where story seeds the imagination, heals the heart, and inspires personal, social, and planetary evolution.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister kind, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Welcome back. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Hallie Evelyn. And we've been talking about the spiritual quest and her trips to Egypt and how people are transforming. And first, Hallie, I would love for you to give your contact information and your website where people can find out about you and your book.
Sure. For the book, the best place to go is to the name of the book. There's a website for that, and that's redgoddessrising.com, redgoddessrising.com. And then the website for my company for our tours and such is Spirit Quest Tours with an S, spiritquesttours.com. And people can reach me personally from both of those sites. There's forms and my email is listed on both of them. Our phone number is listed on both of them. So they can get in touch with us through redgoddessrising.com or spiritquesttours.com.
Well, great. That's great. So Egypt. And you've been there 17 years, so you know how what it was before and what it's like after the revolution, and how is it different now?
Yeah, actually, true confession, I've been going since 1998, so I think that's about, 14 years. I've just, I've been a couple years, I've been more than once. And I guess that, we were in Egypt until, we were in Egypt the month before the revolution. We were in Egypt this past November, right up until the day before the elections. And then we're going back again this December. And the elections, I think, I just heard from our partners in Egypt, and I think they're finally going to announce the winner of the elections, on Tuesday. And it's significantly shifted. I mean, first of all, Egypt has really fallen from grace as far as travelers are concerned, especially American travelers. But I like to say, no tourists were harmed in the making of this revolution. There has not been an incident where there was a tourist harmed, and there were a couple of very, rare instances, I think two instances of tourists out in the Sinai who were being kidnapped, and they were kidnapped because they were being, the Bedouin, the native tribes people were trying to, they're just pretty desperate out there, and they were trying to make a statement. And the people themselves were, as they were released the next day or whatever, were saying, we were treated completely like family, we felt fine, we're bringing more people back to Egypt next month. There's nothing to worry about. And, the news was reporting this as being, completely terrifying, but it really wasn't. And by the same token, Greg, my partner, was in Tahrir Square, right in the heart of where the revolution took place, the day before the elections. And he has pictures of, this Egyptian man befriended him, and, he's got his arm around him, and Greg's holding an I was in the revolution at Tahrir Square t-shirt. And, you know, on the election day, they were talking about the fact that people were, like, selling popcorn in Tahrir Square. And we were there as the unrest was happening right before the elections. And we had a couple of people get off of our bus and go in. There was a car fire starting, and they went in and, like, they were filming stuff. And again, I mean, the struggles have been between the Egyptian peoples. As a as outsiders, they really just want us to come to the country. And just like with Occupy Wall Street, you know, if you were six, even at the height of the Occupy Wall Street movement, if you were six blocks away, you didn't necessarily even know that it was happening. And it's the same thing with Egypt. You know, people forget there's 21 people in Cairo every single day and millions more outside of the city. And Tahrir Square is like six blocks, and everybody's acting like that's all that there is. We just have been telling people, you know, please go to Egypt now. They need your money. They need your tourist dollars. And they're so warm and so friendly, and it's so safe to go there. Not to mention, of course, as we talked about earlier, the fact that there's a lot fewer people right now.
Well, yeah, you know, we get a different picture, you know, from the media. And so we do make those generalizations that that's happening all over Egypt and, oh, my God, you know, we can't go there. And the reality is it's not, and we can't even picture it. We only get the pictures, you know, from the media. So it's hard to counteract that. But let's talk about women, the role of women that they play in Egypt now since the revolution.
Well, the first thing that happened that was interesting this time is that women participated. That was really the unusual thing. The women were taking to the streets exactly as the men were. Some women were being spokespeople. And it was like the first time that women really had that opportunity in modern history. You know, my Egyptian friend says, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck. And, you know, that has multiple meanings. And one of them is that the woman is, you know, supports the man all the time in everything. Now, he likes to say that the neck turns the head. And that's true, too. But, I mean, again, there's multiple meanings for it. But I think that for many women, you know, being a woman in Egypt today, you may work, but you are also expected to be the 100% runner of the domicile. So you're raising the children on your own, you're cooking, you're cleaning, and if you work outside the house, that's fine, but you're doing all those things, and the man does not participate in any of the domestic things, just as he has not for, you know, thousands of years in Egypt. So there's a real pressure on women. It's like a lot of it is like how women were in the United States in the 60s. They were just starting to come out of their homes. They were just starting to realize that they could earn their own living. There was this, you know, we didn't even have a glass ceiling yet. It was just so unequal. And then women were also still expected to, you know, to run the home. And for a lot of women, especially the older generations, they're looking at these younger women and going, why do you want this? You know, what's the point? But for a lot of the younger women, they're starting to see we're having this revolution not for us, but for our children and our children's children, so that our daughters' daughters will be equal. And, you know, it's got to start somewhere. So I'm dear friends with several Egyptian women, and I applaud them all for the steps that they're taking in this direction.
Well, and you wonder if it would really, you know, like you said, they were out in the streets just like the men. And then sometimes after something like that, you know, this big occurrence, there's big wave of excitement and this people power. And then it kind of goes back to the cultural influence of, well, but the woman's role is in the home. You know, so it's okay you're on the street, but, you know, will women really move to power? Will they create a place for this woman in powerful positions?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a great question. I think time is going to really tell as to whether there, you know, as to what kind of shifts take place long-term, because you're right. I mean, not only is there this, okay, now women return to the home, but also do men in Egypt want women to be equal? For the most part, I don't think the men do. I think the men are happy with the way that things are. They don't want women telling them, you know, equally how things need to be. But I think that this, you know, it's called Pandora's box for a reason. And I think that there is definitely a shift out into the fore for many of these women. And once the box is opened, it can't be shut again.
Yeah. And they, and like you said, you know, it might, you know, equate back to the 50s with our mothers who, you know, were at home moms. And on top of that, if they worked, and now it's quite different. There's a lot of opportunity. So some of it will, you know, time will tell. And also you, so you were a Western woman in this male oriented culture. What's that like for you?
Well, it's funny because I talk about this in the book a little bit. I find myself just kind of being, just feeling kind of, you know, like I have to staunch who I really am because I can't just be my normal, you know, quick-witted, sharp-tongued self because I'm going to offend like every third person. I mean, I'm lucky because I'm a Western woman, and so I'm kind of exempt from the cultural stuff. But my experience, like we usually go to Egypt for at least a week longer after our tour, and then we're spending time with our Egyptian family. And usually by the end of that week, I'm kind of ready to go home because I really want to be able to just be myself and not have to constantly curb myself. And again, that's just a cultural thing. And you know, I know Western women who live in Egypt, and, you know, you just kind of learn. You learn what's okay and what's not okay, and you learn to adapt.
Yeah, but it is. But I can see where you'd want to come home because that is, it's not, you're not able to fully be yourself, you know, and you're kind of
right.
Like this fiery, you know, like your book, Red Goddess Rising, you're this fiery redhead.
I am a fiery redhead. And it's funny because, you know, like there's a lot, my experience with Egyptians is, and, you know, I've been out in the street by myself or with another woman. There's definitely culturally a lot of, you know, the heckling and catcalling and stuff, depending on how you're dressed. But when I dress the way that a modern Muslim woman would, with my head covered and with long sleeves and such, they're very respectful. It just, you know, we tend to show a lot more skin than they're used to, and I think it makes them a little crazy. So there's, you know, again, you adapt, and you adapt to what you feel is the most appropriate behavior, and then it makes things a lot easier.
Yes. So this is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. We'll come back soon and talk more with Holly Evelyn.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Are the magic and mysteries of Egypt calling you? Picture yourself standing between the paws of the Sphinx, meditating inside the Great Pyramid and other sacred temples and exclusive visits. Imagine cruising down the Nile on a luxurious private sailing yacht and exploring the peaceful countryside of Egypt. If you're interested in travel that expands, transforms, and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light, for a spiritual and healing journey to Egypt this September. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit EgyptIsCalling.com. That's EgyptIsCalling.com.
Mm-hmm. What if someone could show you how to tap into vibrant health in 90 minutes? What if someone could have you listening to and following your heart's desires? What if someone could have you feel deep and abiding freedom throughout every cell of your being? What if someone could tap into your inherent abundance easily and effortlessly? Alina Frank is that someone. Alina can help you clear anything that energetically stands in your way from attaining the health, wealth, and freedom you were born to enjoy. Using EFT tapping, set yourself free with EFT. Why wait for a miracle when you can tap your power now? Visit www.tapyourpower.net. That's www.tapyourpower.net.
Have you ever wanted to join a yoga class, yet felt self-conscious or simply didn't have the time? Now you can bring live Kundalini yoga into your home with KRI-certified Dr. Ann Taylor. You will learn a scientific technology of movement, mantra, meditation, and breathing techniques designed to balance your mind, body, and spirit. Sign up today for our free newsletter and receive your first class free. Visit Ann with an E, Taylor.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister kind, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Well, hello, I want to get back right now to talking with Holly Evelyn, and we're having an interesting conversation. As I said, I love travel and travel memoirs, and we're talking about Egypt and just the whole thing of traveling and going to these countries that have very different cultures than ours. Holly, what do you think, you know, that impact of tourism and what it does to these countries? Is it a positive thing, or are there negatives around that?
Yeah, it's a really great question. In fact, it's a great debate because, you know, of course, they need, a lot of times these cultures need our dollars to survive. If Egypt's gross national product is not tourism, it might as well be. I mean, there's like, you know, Egypt does, of course, do some exporting, but tourism is a big chunk of their revenue. And it's been the revolution in that regard has been devastating. And I'm sure that you know that a lot of money has come into the country. You know, the U.S. and several other countries helped to do basically a bailout of Egypt in the billions of dollars because of that loss of revenue. So that it's vital to their healthy survival. And yet, you know, a lot of the young people, they don't want to be farmers. They don't want to plow the fields as there has been done generations and generations prior to them. Because they are, you know, they see the world now. The world has become a much smaller place. They can see it on their television screens, and they want what we have. You know, they want, just as, you know, cliche as possible, but they want, you know, McDonald's and Levi's and Cokes, and there's just nothing you can do to stop that. So, and then, you know, you take a little country like Bhutan. Bhutan is trying to impose a tax on foreigners who come in. You know, you have to spend at least $200 a day. It's not a tax. It's just like a minimum requirement. And the reason is that they're trying to keep out a lot of tourism. So they're basically saying it's just going to be really expensive to visit here, and that inherently limits it. But because of even the tourism that Bhutan has been getting, it has been changing their culture. And so just by your very act of being there, just like when you go into the Valley of the Kings and the Queens and you stand in the tombs, your breath decays the very paints of ground stones that you're there to see. So the glorious colors are being decayed by your looking at them. That's just the reality of it. And I think that's a good metaphor for what happens.
Yeah, the big impact, not just, you know, like you say, physically of losing paint on these amazing ancient places, but the impact on the people. And yeah, they and saying, you know, the younger people want to emulate us. You know, they want the iPads too. They want the iPhones. And yet there's positives with that too, because it allows them to grow and change and develop in ways that they wouldn't have before. It's just so it's a double-edged sword, you know.
Sure, their medical, for example, is better. You know, there's a lot of stray animals in Egypt, and people are starting to pay attention to that because because they're not just concerned about like their lowest base level of survival anymore. They're able to, you know, to focus on other things. I mean, that's, you know, the reality is art tends to get created in an environment where you don't have to worry about where your next dollar is coming from.
Yes, and you're talking about the branding, but even like culturally, like for women, I think you shared with me in the break how their cultural norms of the girls with the boys of
oh yes, that's very interesting. So I've taken this kind of informal poll of all the women I've ever met in Egypt, and I've asked. You know, I ask the same questions over and over again because I want to know, like, what's it like to, you know, what is it dating like? What's engagement like? What's marriage like? What's divorce like? And it's fascinating. Like, did you know that in Egypt you have to be engaged to someone before he's allowed to kiss you on the cheek? And you absolutely have to be married before you lose your virginity. And you can get a divorce. And then you can marry somebody else 4 months later, but you still have to be engaged to the next guy before he's allowed to kiss you on the cheek. So it's this really fascinating dichotomy of, you know, again, kind of let's throw back to, you know, the 50s and 60s in America and like what was considered okay. But of course, we know from Mad Men, if nothing else, that all the good little girls were running around smoking cigarettes and, you know, and having abortions in secret. From what I can tell, that really is not happening in the Muslim countries. There are, you know, the girls are not just out having sex like crazy, which is what you would think because they're, you know, they have the same hormones that everybody else does. They really are, you know, the good little girls. On the other hand, I'll just tell you just a hilarious, very quick story. I once went into the back of the Khan El Khalili, which is a 1,000-year-old market where they sell shark and everything. And I went into the back with a guest who was going to Burning Man after Egypt and who wanted, like, the sparkle pony stuff. And she wanted, the like, crazy trashy lingerie. And I knew of a stand in the back of the Khan that sold the crazy trashy lingerie. And as I was standing bargaining with the guy who was selling it to me, I turned around and looked. And behind me was this sea of black burqas and all these older Muslim women all waiting in line behind me. I was the only American other than her, you know, other than my guest. So that's who was buying the crazy trashy lingerie, was all the Muslim women to wear under their very solemn black burqas. So I often think that there's like what we see, and then maybe there's the reality that even they don't tell me about it when I ask about it.
Yeah, what's hidden behind the burqa will stay there.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Well, it's been fascinating to talk with you today. As I said, I love traveling, and I know people want to check out Holly's book. Go to redgoddessrising.com, and for the travel tours, go to spiritquesttours.com. And
I should mention, you can download a free excerpt from the book and also a free photo ebook with pictures of Egypt as well on the site.
And that just might entice people to want to travel there. I know it's a fascinating place. I love going to Egypt. So thank you, Holly. It's great to talk with you today.
Thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So I want to leave everyone with this thought. What is it you're longing for? Where do you want to go? And what can you do to make that happen? This is Chris Danis. I'm so glad you joined us this hour. Just want to mention you can sign up for the Women of Wisdom newsletter at www.womenofwisdom.org. And we also have a call out now for our presenters for the 2013, which is our 21st conference. It's up on our website now, and you can find out how to be a workshop presenter at our 21st conference. And also you'll find out about our monthly events and all that. Tonight we're having our Women of Wisdom All Women's Blissed Out Dance. So if you're in Seattle, join us at Standing Stone Healing and Arts Center in North Seattle at 8 o'clock. And also just want to remind people to check out my book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. It's an Amazon bestseller, an award-winning book. And it also has changed women's lives just as the conference has. It's a very inspirational book, and you get touched by many people's versions and descriptions and artistic expressions of the divine feminine. And you can also purchase that on our website, womanofwisdom.org. You can contact me at wow@womanofwisdom.org, wow@womanofwisdom.org. This is Chris Danis, and I hope you all have a great weekend, and I will talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Danis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Danis.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour. Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors, filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Ugh. Aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the Internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.